I don't know if anybody has needs, but we'll just pray for anybody who has needs. And that the Holy Spirit would minister to you.
Yeah. It's one of my dear friends, Caleb Ryder.
Ryder?
Yeah. He's had three cranial operations already. And he's going for another one. Just pray that they get it right. He doesn't have to have any more. But I promise this friend that we tell him.
Yeah, we'll pray for Ryder.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you that we could come to you and lift up our petitions to you. And Father, thank you that you hear our prayers. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray for Ryder. We pray, Father, through these circumstances, Father, that you would heal his body, his whatever is being the element, whatever is the root of the source, Lord, the why he needs the operations. Lord, that you bring healing and restoration to his body. We pray, Father, for the doctors. Thank you, Lord, that you use doctors. And you enable doctors to have special skills as well. But Lord, we know that you're the great physician and you're the healer. And we pray, Father, for Ryder. Father, we were asking in your mighty name, Jesus, for healing upon Ryder. And Lord, we ask for healing upon every person here who has a heavy burden and just even things that are seemingly going wrong. But Lord, thank you that you use all things. And so help us, Lord, to ask, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this situation? Lord, we just pray for healing and restoration in our lives. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be turned to you and we run to you and seek you and desire to know more of you. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our very hearts this morning. Lord, that you would help us. And even, Father, even Cam, who left this morning, I pray, Father, for him. Father, I don't know why he came, but I pray, Father, I don't know why he left either. I pray, Father, for him. Lord, that you would touch him even where he's at. And Father, you would encourage him and strengthen him. So Lord, I pray for Cam, or even right now, in Jesus' name. So what is Jonah? Have you guys read the book of Jonah before? What? What's Jonah about? A guy named Jonah. Hey, so you guys don't remember in Sunday school, you usually read about Jonah and we talk about... drawing a blank. Hey, why is Jonah a great illustration? Even how it illustrates our own lives. So maybe this week we could, he ran away from God. God called him. He ran away from God, right? And God brings situations in his life of great storm, of turbulence. And why did God bring turbulence in his life? To draw him back. And sometimes we have turbulences in our own lives, and God uses that to draw us back. So Jonah is about his struggles, his heart condition. Sometimes our heart condition is not the greatest. Right? And what is the most thing God is after in our lives? It's our hearts. He's after our heart. So even we see Jonah, he was disobedient to God's word. Sometimes we are disobedient to God's word. And it's also a story about how God gave Jonah opportunity after opportunity to change and to repent. How many of us have thanked God for his grace every day to say, thank you that you are changing my heart, that I'm willing to repent of my ways when I go astray, and how he always continued to draw us closer to him. So that's the amazing thing about God. He's trying to get our attention, that he doesn't want any of us to perish. So that's why he sends storms in our lives, difficulties, Because through difficulties, that's the only way sometimes he gets your attention. Right? Sometimes I need a big stick to get my attention. Because sometimes we do it in our own strength. So he's trying to get our attentions. So last week we were just talking about how even Jonah sinned. And God, and when we sin, it affects other people. Right? There's always, sin affects other people. There's a ripple effect. When Jonah sinned, he went contrary to what God has asked him to do. He says, go to Nineveh. And Jonah went to the opposite direction. And sometimes when we go the opposite direction, disobedience is sin. And so God is trying to draw us to himself and repent and say, Lord, forgive me for being disobedient. Because it affected this other sailors on that boat. That's why sometimes sin in our lives, we think it just affects myself. But there's a ripple effect. It affects other people in our lives. And we talked about generational sins that affect our lives. How many of us have dealt with generational sins? Have you experienced freedom after there's been repentance? Even though you didn't do that sin, but have that negative confrontation of how sin actually holds you back, how chains hold you back from what God desires to do. You know, sin is deceptive. It deceives us at times. Part of the deception of sin is convincing us that we're not really bad. So we think, oh, my sin's not that bad, because we compare it to somebody else. So I think, oh, this sin of what I'm doing is not as bad as somebody else's sin. But how does God see sin? Right? So we can't compare my sins better than yours. Or not as bad as yours. But sin is sin. So when we're disobedient, that's also going against what God has called us to do. So that's, we sinned. So in verse 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. So this is now in verse 5, the mariners were afraid, and each man cried to his God. And they cast the goods that were in the ship to sea to lighten for them. But Jonah had gone down in the inward part of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Well, he went further away from God, right? In our sin, have you ever sinned and you know that you're walking in sin and then you want to go as far away from other people? You want to hide yourself. Isolate. We isolate ourselves because I don't want to be around people who are following God. I don't want my sin to be found out. I don't want to deal with this sin. So we kind of hide ourselves, but yet we know that in Scripture we cannot hide from the omnipresence of God. So as we read, it says, so the captain came and said to Jonah, what do you mean, you sleeper? And it's amazing how the captain says, arise, call upon your God. Perhaps your God will give a thought to us so that we shall not perish. It's amazing how the captain, God used that captain to come to Jonah. Right? And he's asking Jonah for help. It's amazing how the scripture never said Jonah actually cried out to God. He never cried out to God. He knew he was walking in disobedience. He's walking in sin. And yet God used this captain to come to him and said, why don't you call to your God And she asked, why are we going through these troubled seas? Why is this happening to us? Call out to your God. And yet the Bible doesn't even say Jonah even cried out to his God. He never cried out to God. That's what the Bible says. Because if he did, they would have mentioned it. He never cried out to God. And sometimes when we are in sin, do we cry out to God? When we walk in disobedience, do we cry out to God? I think sometimes we do in our own strength. Or that I don't think I should receive God's mercy so freely. Because I think, oh, I can't just ask for repent. I can't repent and get right with God because that seems too easy. I need to punish myself. I need to do this. But it's amazing God says, come to me. Repent. You don't have to do anything but come to him wholeheartedly and repent. God uses strangers, even children, adults, throughout scriptures to draw people back to himself. God was using this captain to tell Jonah, awake, oh sleeper. So what does matter in our response to God? So when God speaks to you, God's trying to get your heart. He's trying to get our heart. God sends people into your lives to say, awake, O sleeper, repent, get right. He doesn't leave us alone in our own sin or our own disobedience. That's why we come together as a fellowship, or after Sundays or Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, we should be getting together with other like-minded believers to encourage one another. So in Galatians 6:1, who wants to read Galatians 6:1? Okay. So Galatians 6:1. Okay, go ahead.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God uses his children to restore one another. If I see a brother or sister that's not walking as they ought to walk, should we not be able to go to them and say privately, say, how you're living is not really honoring to God? And I go there to him and her, or her, in meekness. So often the church says, well, that's judgmental. How can you cast that stone? There's a plank in your own eye. You should deal with your own stuff. But in Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. We're supposed to restore one another in meekness and humility and go to them when they're walking in sin. Because if I don't do that, that means I don't have the love of Christ in me. You're responsible. And that's why we meet together. When we see people not coming to church, do we call out? You Valley Lane, they have been here for 3 weeks. What's going on with them? You know, what's happening with other people? Do we call out and search out them? Why haven't you been coming to church? Are you going through some struggles? Are you going through this? How can I help and pray with you? Do we have this heart of reaching out to people and say, what's happening? But sometimes we think, oh, that's being judgmental. We're not being judgmental. The Word of God says, go to them privately. Speak to them. Encourage them. Right? You know, the Greek word most often translated trespass in the New Testament literally means a false step. It's a false step. When we trespass, it's a false step. It implies a falling away from being close, beside. So we're not, when we have a trespass, we step away from God's word and we kind of fall away a bit. It's a tripping up. How many times have we tripped up this week? I know I have. I don't think I'm the only one. We all have tripped up this week, haven't we? Right, boys? Have you always been obedient to your parents? Right? We've all trespassed. We all have fallen short. Do we, with a humble heart, say, Lord, forgive me for falling short this week. Forgive me of this, whatever it is. I repent of it. Getting right with him. You know, a trespass could be intentional or non-intentional. Something, it can, right? So here is this captain, and so in verse 7, it says, and then they each said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. It's amazing. So they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. Go figure. Here they are casting lots, right? And it fell on Jonah, so they know who the culprit is. And they said to him, tell us. They asked him, tell us. We pray you on this account has this evil come upon us. So they know there's some sort of evil has come upon us. They were praying to their gods, and even the captain came up to him, wake up, old sleeper, and pray to your God and ask, why is this coming upon us? And here they are, they're asking him, why did this come upon us? And they ask, what is your country and what is your nationality? It's amazing how Jonah is a prophet of God. And what do prophets usually do in the Old Testament? Well, God used them to say, tell the people to repent of their ways. Here's a man of God who goes to tell people. When people say they're a prophet, nowadays, it's supposed to be, they go and say, this is what God is saying, repent. Get right with him. God, throughout the Gospels, in the Old Testament, used prophets to help people repent of their ways, to fall away from false God and turn to the living God. That's what they did of prophets. Prophets spoke the holy word. Tell people to get right with God, to serve him wholeheartedly. So here's a prophet of God who's not living the way as he was supposed to be living. He was the one who's supposed to be telling the good news of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was supposed to be telling them to repent and get right. It's amazing how God used these non-believers. So that's the thing. God can use non-believers to speak into our own lives. To give an account. Why are you living this way? Why are you living in sin? Are you not supposed to be following God? Are you not supposed to be loving him? Being changed by him? To live and put off the old nature and put on the new nature? Are we dying to the old self? Are we putting on the new nature? Do we desire to live holy, righteous lives before God Almighty? It's a good question. Is my heart really wanting to serve the Almighty God? Does your heart really want to serve the Almighty God? Because it comes down to choice. We're not saved because we were brought up in a Christian home. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter Because I'm a pastor, my sons are, they're not automatically going to get saved. It's a heart choice. Am I going to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Will I follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart? It's a personal choice. We see Jonah walk in disobedience and the effects of it. You know, when Jonah says, and he gives this account, and he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I reverently fear and worship the God, the Lord. Get that. Underline that. He says, I reverently fear and worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and made the land and the dry land. He pronounced, he knew this living God. He pronounced that he's a Hebrew. He pronounced, this is who I worship. But did he walk that way? He said all the right things. He was correct that he is a Hebrew. But did he really fear God? No. He never feared God. He proclaimed he fears God, but his actions actually proved he did not fear God. Because if he feared God, he would not be running away from God, but running towards God. Does that make clear? Is that clear? His actions, sometimes we say things, say, oh yeah, I fear God. I love the Lord. I do this for him. I do that. I serve him. I desire to know him. But what does our actions prove? Do I really fear the Lord? Do I really want to serve him? Jonah said all the right things. We could say all the right things. This morning we prayed, I pray that, Lord, there would not be a spiritual, sometimes a religious spirit. We could be in a religious, allowing a religious spirit to operate in our own lives. That we go through all the emotions, we go through all this, but is my heart being transformed? I ask these questions about myself, so I'm not, when I speak, these are the things I even wrestle with. Lord, am I loving you with all my heart? Am I doing what you have called me to do? Am I saying these things, but not really in my heart's been, it's not really there, right? Am I operating in a religious spirit? And I asked the Lord to search my heart. Here's Jonah. They ask him, who are you? Well, we know he says he fears the Lord, but his actions prove otherwise. Do I fear the Lord? You know, I write down a lot of notes. For the fear of God, I don't know where I've read this before, but it says, fear of God for believers is that we need a proper attitude towards God. Do I have a proper attitude towards God? Am I in awe of him? Do I really want to live for him and to die for him? So what's... For a believer is that we need a proper attitude towards God, having respect, reverence, or awe rather than a fear. Godly fear is actually what draws us to him. It doesn't repel us away, but having a godly fear, it draws us closer to him because we want to know him more intimately. Knowing that God's wrath has been satisfied in Christ and relieves the believer from the fear of condemnation, but not from accountability to a holy God. We have accountability to a holy God. So we don't live our lives as we think we should be living, but how does God want us to live our lives? Have holy reverence for him. Desire to do what he's called us to do. To respond to how he's speaking to our hearts. Right? That's having holy fear. And I think I have been saying this for a while. I think we lack holy fear. I think I lack holy fear in my life for the Lord God Almighty. Because if I really had holy fear, I wouldn't do some of the redonkiest things I do sometimes. I think we have all been donkeys at times. And God can use a donkey to speak to us. Right? But how do we respond when God uses a donkey to speak to us? That's a question. Like, how would I respond? How do I respond when God's trying to get my attention? And that's the heart condition. He's after your heart. He's after my heart. He wants our hearts, not our intellect. He doesn't want your intellect. He wants your heart. Do I really want to have a heart for him? And I know I do. So to know that we are accountable to a holy God, and we will, when we do give an account to the Father when we get to heaven, we all will go in front of him and give an account of our lives. To fear God is to have allegiance to him. And consequently to his instructions. So this affects our values. This affects our desires. This affects how we live. You know, he brings conviction and he changes our behavior. This is what he wants. He wants to change our behavior. He wants to change our convictions. To have his holy word to be our light. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's supposed to direct us. He says, do not be just hearers of his word, but actually be doers of his word. Am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I being obedient to what he's been saying to me? It's amazing how God chases after us and how he wants us to walk with him even after he wants our heart. I thank God that he pursues after us. I thank God that he pursues and wants us to be changed. He doesn't just pass over us. He just wants a relationship with us. He wants our hearts, to have our heart attention, to have our heart. Think of the things, what has your heart today? What is one thing has more of your heart than anything else in this world? You know, as we read through Jonah, the storm of lack of repentance from Jonah, the storm grew stronger. It became, they were throwing things overboard, trying to make the ship lighter. They were trying to row to shore, but they could not get out of the storm. Sometimes we do a lot of things, but we don't repent. I'm willing to throw this out, this, and we know what the sin is. We'll throw everything out, but actually not deal with the sin that we're in. And sometimes that storm gets so, we're like, oh, what's going on, Lord, why? Because you're not dealing with the sin in your life that I'm pointing out to you right now. He deals with things in our lives at a certain time. Maybe perhaps he's saying today, you need to deal with this. Get right with me. You know, and then they said to Jonah, and there, Jonah's like, I know what to do. Right? He tells them, throw me overboard. And the ship, then the people in the ship are like, no, because you're going to die and your blood's going to be on our hands. And Jonah said, no, it's not. This is the right thing to do. Throw me overboard and the sea will come calm. And so they throw him overboard. Right? But in that, I love this. The sailors. Verse 16, it says, then the men reverently and worshipped and feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Through Jonah's disobedience, people, the sailors, got saved. God used that circumstance to still save people. They actually, the sailors, actually recognized who God is, the true God. Like their gods did not answer, but God Almighty, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, answered the prayer and calmed the sea. Calmed everything in their lives, all their fears, all their anxieties. He brought peace in their lives. And they made vows to him to serve him. Sometimes we have storms in our lives that, Lord, can you calm this storm in my life? Lord, I want to make a vow to you. Forgive me for falling away. Lord, forgive me for doing my own thing and not really doing what you have called. Forgive me on my disobedience. But Lord, I thank you that you bring, that you give me forgiveness. You forgive me and you choose not to remember my sin any longer. That he heals us and quickens us. This forgiveness when we confess our sin. You know, in Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. Iniquity is something that's in our hearts. Iniquity and sin are, that's another one to talk about. Iniquity. Do I have iniquity in my heart today? Forgiveness is the indescribable relief from the previously ever-present burden of guilt. Do we have guilt? Do we need forgiveness so we can have a release of that guilt? The joy of the joy at knowing that God has wiped the slate clean when we repent. He wipes it clean. God has forgiven you. His return, he is asking you for you to turn your life around. He enables us to turn our life around. But are we choosing to give our hearts to him? That's a choice. God's the one who does the sanctification. He's the one who takes that stuff out. But there's a choice. Am I willing to give my heart to the Lord today? Are we willing to give our hearts to the Lord today? Am I willing to follow the Lord no matter the cost? No matter what this world's going to try to offer me? Isaiah 55:7. Says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that amazing what God does and said he will do? When you return to the Lord, Isaiah 55:7 says, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on you. He will have mercy on me. Because he will abundantly pardon you. When if you're being a pardon, does he choose not to remember that anymore? He pardoned you. When it's dealt with, he chooses to pardon you wholeheartedly, wiping your record clean. You're pardoned. And sometimes we think, how can I be so easily pardoned? But then that's a different gospel. I come to you, Lord, and I ask for your pardon today. I confess. But I desire to return to you with all my heart, to love you with all my strength. Lord, I confess whatever the sin that you point out to me in my life, that, Lord, help me to actually, what the words I pronounce are actually my actions, Lord, that I truly love you and I actually do fear you. And I truly want to live for you. Lord, let our actions speak. And Lord, help us when we are want to run away from you. Lord, bring in whoever it is to help us. Lord, that we be sensitive to your voice. Lord, that we repent even before you bring something into our lives. But Lord, when we help us, Lord, to be in fellowship. Help us, Lord, to share our hearts with others. Lord, help us to pray for one another. Help us, Lord, to have genuine love for one another as brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that as you speak to us this week, Lord, our love for you will grow more deeper. And Lord, that we would run to you more and more all the time. Lord, thank you that you are continually after us. Thank you, Lord, that you're continually seeking us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who's working in our hearts. And thank you that you bring things to our minds to be dealt with. So, Lord, help us to have soft, pliable hearts, to have ears to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's Jonah 1. Took 3 weeks to get Jonah 1 done. Jonah 2, I think it should be great. If you need prayer, you know, we could pray with you to encourage. Great. If we could sing, maybe a song, and if you need prayer, the leadership, we will pray with you. If there's a hurt or a pain, or if there's a physical element that we need prayer for, we could pray.